Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee back with the Heroes of Faith. We're in the middle of a great story. Back to the Ark of the Covenant. Man, it's where God was. It's where the presence of God, the blessing of God, the protection of God. And we had it. But the problem is the children of Israel still sinned, even with the Ark of the Covenant. And man, they're in a mess. The Philistines are just giving all kinds of hard times and attacking them, capturing them. Cities are being destroyed. People are being captured and killed. And so it's a mess. So we're in the middle of a story of a lady named Hannah, married to her husband, Elkanah. She couldn't have a baby. So they go up to the tabernacle once a year to worship, and because her husband serves as a priest. So they go up, and she goes to the tabernacle. She's praying, and she's crying and kind of praying real quietly to herself. And Eli, the priest, sees her crying. He thinks, and the Bible says he thinks maybe she's drunk. Lady, what are you doing here drunk? He said, I'm not drunk. I'm depressed. I want a baby. And so, and he said, okay. And so he prays, said, don't worry about it. You're going to have a baby. So then the next year, she has a baby. So they come back every year. And on the fifth year, when the boy's 5 years old, she leaves him with the priest. Listen, this is a miracle baby. I couldn't have one. I wanted one. God's given me a son. I named him Samuel, which means God answers prayer. He's answered my prayer. So I'm leaving with you. So she leaves the boy with Eli, the priest, who already has two boys who are rotten, by the way. And he raises them. So we learned in the story that all of a sudden he's working there. And one night, God speaks to Samuel and says, Samuel, Samuel. Well, he's not used to this. He gets up. He thinks it's Eli hollering for him. So he goes down the hall. Yes, sir, what do you want? He said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Well, this happens three times. He's going to, about the third time, even Eli is messed up. I realize, son, I think God's talking to you. I didn't call it. Next time here, said, just answer, say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. And so Samuel did. And so God speaks to Samuel, tells him about the situation that I've already sent a prophet to warn Eli about his sons that are rotten and nasty and they're stealing offerings and sleeping with women in the temple. And I warned Eli and tell him because he's not responded, I'm going to cut his family line off. He'll be the last priest in his family. His sons are going to die. He's going to die. And so the next morning, Eli calls the boy in and says, son, what happened last night? Now, he's kind of timid to tell him. He says, well, it wasn't good. He says, well, tell me. And so the boy, five-year-old boy, tells the priest, well, God spoke to me and said, you've not done what's right. You've not raised your kids right. You've not done what's right. You've not controlled them. God told you to control them. You just talked to them. You were supposed to control them. You didn't do that. And because of this, your sons are going to die. You're going to die. There'll never be another priest in your family line serving the temple. He's going to cut you off. And so the Bible says, Eli says, well, all right, I guess it is what it is, and didn't resist it, didn't fight it, just accepted it. And so the boy goes on. Well, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the boy kept growing. God spoke to him, and all the people began to realize, hey, God's not speaking through Eli anymore. He's speaking through this kid. If you want to know what God is, because they didn't have a Bible, that God spoke through prophets and priests. And so they don't have very many because a lot of the prophets got stoned to death because they didn't like what they said. And so he realizes, hey, this kid, every year he can hear from God. We're going to him. And so finally, trouble came to the Israelites again. And the Philistines, their old enemies, fought against them. And he said, man, we keep losing. Why are we losing? And somebody said, I think it's because we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. They've left it in the building. Nobody's worshiped. Nobody goes there anymore. Let's go get the Ark. Let's go get our rabbit's foot. Let's go get our four-leaf clover. Let's go get our lucky charm. And that way we'll be protected because they don't know God. They don't fear God. They don't worship God. They don't care. They just want to stop losing. So let's go get us a rabbit's foot. People still do it to this day. So they went to get the Ark of the Covenant. Now here's where the story picks up. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, says starting around verse 9, says, instead of praying and asking God to help them, they went to Shiloh, told Eli's wicked sons about their plan, and these priests said, Well, we'll take the ark and we'll go with you into battle. Now, these are people that can't hear from God. They go to priests that can't hear from God, and they make up a plan. Well, guys, two wrongs don't make a right. So we'll make up a plan. And so they too thought God would help them if the ark was there. So when the priests captured the ark, they carried it into camp. All the soldiers shouted for joy. They made so much noise that the shouts were heard in the Philistine camp. The Philistines wondered, why are they so happy? What are they shouting about? What are they excited about? Word came that the Israelites had brought the ark of God into camp. Well, the Philistines were afraid when they heard this. They worshipped idols, and they thought the ark was like an idol, and that its presence would strengthen the Israelites when they carried it into battle. Then the Philistines remembered the stories they heard about the wonderful things that God had done to help the Israelites. Surely the Israelites would win now. They'll rule over us, the Philistines thought. So, before they went into battle, the captains of the Philistine army told their men, be strong, fight brave, lest you want to be servants of the Israelites. Don't turn back. Fight with all your might. And the soldiers did their very best. So the Israelites started out bravely into battle. You know, Eli's sons carried the ark into battle. They got their magic wand. They got the four-leaf clover. They got their magic thing. They got the ark. Soon the Israelites knew that they were being driven back. They were being whipped. So the Israelites began to fall back on every side. Even the priests were killed, and the Philistines carried away the ark of the Lord. All the Israelite soldiers left alive ran away in great fear. They knew that God had forsaken them because they had sinned. To have the ark of God taken away from them, what could be worse? One soldier ran back to Shiloh, tore his clothes so the people would know that he had bad news. By the roadside, near the tabernacle, sat blind old Eli. He's old, he's out of shape, he's overweight, and he's blind. He was anxiously awaiting news about the ark. How troubled he was because his sons had been taken out of the tabernacle, had taken the ark, and now they were making trouble. When the message came to the city, he reported that the Philistines had beaten the Israelites, killed his sons, had taken the ark of God. The people were so alarmed, they cried aloud. Eli heard their cries. Yes, what's happened? And the messenger told Eli the news. Eli was saddened by the defeat, by the death of his sons. They said this was bad enough, but when he heard that the ark had been taken, he fell backwards off his stool, broke his neck, and died, just like God said. For 40 years, Eli's sons had been judge, high priest of Israel. He was 90 years old now when he died. When the ark of the Lord was gone, the Israelites felt their God was no longer with them. They became discouraged, and they were a fearful people. Starting in chapter 5, the Philistines rejoiced again greatly because of their victory. They've now got the God of the Israelites. We got them. Now, they captured other gods. They'd whipped other nations. They took their gods, gods of wood, gods of stone. Well, this is just another god. And they got a big tent with all the captured gods. So what they did, they took the Ark of the Covenant from the battleground, and they took it back to their covenant, and they put it in the temple of Dagon. And it's a fish god. Got the head of a man. It's the body of a fish. They worshiped a fish god. And so they took the Ark of the Covenant in and set it down in front of him. And so, at once, trouble began for Dagon and his worshipers. When the people came to worship the gold early in the next morning, they found Dagon fell over on his face in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, there's a big tent with all these gods they've captured with their god, their special current god, this fish god, you know, with a man's face and the body of a fish. And when they got it, they'd taken the Ark of the Covenant into this tent with all these other gods they've captured with their god that they worshipped every day. When they got up the next morning, they walk in the tent, and Dagon was laying on his face in front of the Ark of the Covenant. They thought, whoa, that's not good. Let's stand up. And they begin to be afraid, and they're standing back up. Before long, all the people in that city, in that country, heard about what had happened. But then it says they all begin to break out in painful sores. The people suffered a great deal. The men began to cry, let's not keep the Ark of the Lord anymore. And they said, what are we going to do with it? We'll send it to Gath, the man decided. And then they got a cousin down the road, another king. So when the Ark reached Gath, the people began to suffer painful sores. They got boils all over their body. They got sores. And so the men became so sick, they were dying. And then people became so afraid of the ark, they said, let's send it to another city. Let's send it to Ekron. Well, they got another cousin down there. Let's give it to him. So people kept taking it. And the people of Ekron they saw the ark coming, and they were so afraid. They said, why have you brought this ark here? Have you brought it to kill us? Send it back to Israel where it belongs. For 7 months, the Philistines were troubled. They got sores on their body. They got boils. One Bible says they got smitten with hemorrhoids. I mean, God smote them with hemorrhoids. They can't sit down. They can't have a bowel movement. They're a mess, man. They can't ride their chariot. They can't ride a horse. What happened? God's messing with them. Send it back. So for 7 months, they're just sitting there in trouble. Then they called all the men together. What are we going to do with this ark? Where can we send it? After much thought, the wise men said, well, let's build a new ox cart. Let's put two new cows to pull it. Let's put the ark on the cart, and let's put in the box some gold and jewels as a present and send it back, send the cows back down the road toward Israel. Now, what they did, they said, well, what are we going to put in it? Well, he's a god. Evidently, he's whipping us. What's he partial to? Evidently, he's partial to hemorrhoids. He keeps using the hemorrhoids. We got it. Our cousin got it. His cousin got it. He seems to be partial to hemorrhoids. So what are we going to say? Well, let's make, little golden mice and little gold hemorrhoids, because he has made, and this is where we get the saying, he has made, this God of Israel has made mice out of men. So where'd you get that? Well, it happened in the Bible. He's made mice out of men. So they put golden mice and golden hemorrhoids. Now, I don't think they had a medical book. Somebody had to figure out what a hemorrhoid looked like. And so they formed the gold. They put it inside the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the ark, they put it on this cart with two cows that never pulled anything, sent it back toward Israel. Well, when the cart was finished and everything was ready, started down the road, said one of the cows moved south toward Israel. Said they did not stop by the way of the grass. They didn't stop for anything. They went straight back to the border. The Israelites were reaping in their wheat fields. When they looked up, they saw cows carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Everybody got thrilled. Man, the ark's back. The ark's back. They probably thought, man, God's with us again. So they watched the cows turn up the road, and there came the ark. Quickly, the Levites, the priests who were legally supposed to do this, they gathered together the ark and took the ark off the cart. They brought the axes, and they chopped up the cows and offered a sacrifice from the cattle that pulled it. And they placed the thing on the stone, and then they sacrificed two cows and thanks to God. Now, the men there were very curious to see what was in the ark. They knew God had commanded that only the priest should touch it. Perhaps they wondered, well, if the Philistines had stolen it, maybe in the Ten Commandments, maybe they look. And so they lifted the lid to look inside. Each man that touched the ark and lifted that lid dropped dead because they disobeyed what God had said. Now, the men didn't know exactly what to do, so they sent messengers to the people saying, the Philistines have returned the Ark of the Covenant. Please come down and get it. So the ark was taken home to Abinadab, a Levite. He charged the sons of Eleazar to come out and take care of it. And this time, the Israelites never went to Shiloh again to worship God. Now, where's God at? Well, the presence of God's with that ark. And so you need to respect it. You need to respect the presence of God. Now, listen, you knew the Ark of the Covenant. Like I said, we're still looking for it today. People, well, maybe it's here. Maybe it's there. There's still specials on TV that run an hour long where we think we know where the ark is. Listen, if God wanted you to find it, you'd find it. If he doesn't want you to find it, you're not going to find it. It's not the ark, guys. It's Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus came to earth as a man, died for us. God raised from the dead. And now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for us. What happened until Jesus came, people lived in confusion. We were under the law. The Bible says when the law came, Paul wrote this, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. When did you die? When I found out what the law was. What did you realize? Well, it's like we start with the Ten Commandments. It's more than 10. There's 613 laws. When the law came, sin revived and I died. What does he mean? I didn't know what sin was until I read the law. I didn't know what sin was. I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. I did what was wrong when I wanted to. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. There was no law against it. There's no speed limit. There's no state law. There's no federal law. There's no law. We are a lawless, sinful people. That's why Adam and Eve got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids start killing each other. Sin has death attached to it. Death is attached to sin. God wants you, always want. Don't sin. That's when we knew as Christians how to repent quick, forgive quick, don't let it stay attached to you. And so they realized something. We thought it was there. So that's why when Jesus died on the cross, The Bible says in the temple where they kept the ark, in the temple, the big curtain that separated the ark, nobody could see it. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. When Jesus died on that cross, where they buried him, where they ever took his body down, when he drew his last breath, the Bible says that curtain was torn top to bottom. God tore it. No more law. No more sacrifice for sin. It is our faith in what Jesus did for us. No more bulls, no more goats, no more turtle doves. You don't crawl on your face for a mile and a half. You don't shave your head or sit in sackcloth and ashes. No, it's our faith in what Jesus did. It's not what we do. It's not our sacrifice. It's not the things we do. It's our faith in what Jesus did. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. It's faith in what Jesus. The reason we have a whole Bible is to realize, how did we get to this point? Well, it started out real good. A guy named Adam's living in the garden. The food's free, weather's perfect, clothes are cheap. It's real nice. Then Eve is made. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a woman. So Adam and Eve are doing great, man. It's their one a wonderful life. They're enjoying things. The thing is, Satan had already been kicked out of heaven. Lucifer lost his job, lost his name. He went from Lucifer to Satan. He's on this planet. He still has his gifts. The Bible said he's full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, charge of wealth, charge of music. He still has his gifts. He's lost his position, but he has his gifts. So he's cast down to earth, and he gets Adam and Eve to sin. When he got Adam and Eve to sin, Satan became the legal, 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, temporary god of this planet. He is the current god of this planet. He steals, he kills, and destroys, John 10:10. People ask all the time, because I'm the only preacher in the family, why did God let this happen? I said, God didn't let this happen. God's not allowed down here unless somebody asks him. Satan is the legal, temporary god of this planet. That's why prisons are full, hospitals are full, orphanages are full. God's not in charge. God is only allowed down here when somebody invites him. We call that prayer. Jesus said it 8 times in the New Testament. You have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. And so this is before. This is before. This is back when we got the covenant. We got the ark. We got the Ten Commandments in that ark. We got the rod. You know, we got the thing in there that's like, what is this? Well, this represents that God is a miraculous God. God will help you if you call on him. And so God had to make the law. The law came first. But that's why Paul said the law is still good. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't take our neighbor's spouse. We shouldn't, you know, blaspheme the name of God. Those are still true. But that's not what gets you saved. It's faith in what Jesus did. Bible says Abraham looked forward to it by faith, that God considered Abraham righteous. Why? He realized, I can't do this. I'm looking to a God that can do this. That's why that 100-year-old man had a baby when he shouldn't be able to have a baby. Why? He had faith. He looked forward to it by faith. We look back on it by faith. The New Testament, we do. I look back on what Jesus did by faith. By faith, I know I'm saved. Romans 10:9-10. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins and God raised from dead? If you confess that with your mouth, you'll be saved. God made such a great thing. The Old and New Testament are very good. They're all good. I tell people, you know, Genesis alone took 2,500 years to write. It covers 2,500 years of Jewish history. Just Genesis, that's long before we get to Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's a very long process. The New Testament, you know, from Matthew to Revelation, only covers 70 years. God's starting to shorten things up. God had a great answer, and it was his son, Jesus. That's why today we can run boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy and help in time of need. We live in the greatest day of human history. People say, is this a good time to have kids? This is a good time to get married, have kids, have grandkids. This is God's pouring out his spirit without measure all over this planet. So we're learning great things. We're going to pick this up. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. They realized it was a bad thing, and so they sent it back. And so the Jewish people thought, God's back. Well, he's back, but he still requires you to do what he says. So they touched the Ark. Priests were the only ones allowed to touch the ark, but people who weren't priests thought they'd lift the lid and see what was inside. Well, they dropped dead. Just like when they first got the Ark of the Covenant, when David is bringing it back home and he's dancing, twirling in the street, the ark started to slide off the cart and fall off in the road, and a man who had no sin in his life that we know of reached out to help God, and he touched the ark. Well, he dropped dead right in the street. God had said, you cannot touch this box. And so we went from the law, when the sin, to the non-law, so that when sin revived, I died. That's what Paul said. Listen, but now it's by faith. It's not by law. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Every day we get to repent and we get to forgive. We'd be doing it the rest of our lives. There are no perfect Christians, but there are a lot of getting back up Christians. So guys, we're going to learn some great things in the story. We look forward to picking it up next time. Thanks for being with us today. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.